are in the marketplace of Speisesau, the capital of the Grand Duchy of Pfennig-Halbpfennig. It is the summer of 1750. Seated outside an inn are the members of the local theatrical company, which is managed by one Ernest Dummkopf. They are enjoying a repast in honor of the nuptials of Ludwig, his leading comedian, and Lisa, his soubrette.
But dear me, you're all at breakfast. Has the wedding taken place? My good girls, one at a time, I beg. Let me understand the situation. As solicitor to the conspiracy to dethrone the Grand Duke, a conspiracy in which the members of this company are deeply involved, I am invited to the marriage of two of its members. I present myself in due course, and I find not only that the ceremony has taken place, which is not of the least consequence, but the wedding breakfast is half eaten, which is a consideration of the most serious importance.
But the ceremony has not taken place. We can't get a parson.
Can't get a parson? Why, how's that there, Freer Fenwick?
Oh, it is the old story, the Grand Duke.
Oh, him.
It seems that the little imp has selected this, our wedding day, for a convocation of all the clergy in the town to settle the details of his approaching marriage with the enormously wealthy Baroness von Krakenfeld, and there won't be a parson to be had for love or money until 6 o'clock this evening.
And as we produce our magnificent classical revival of Troilus and Cressida tonight at 7, we've no alternative but to eat our wedding breakfast before we've earned it. So sit down and make the best of it. Oh, I should like to pull his grand ducal ears for him, that I should. He's the meanest, the cruelest, the most spiteful little ape in Christendom.
Well, we shall soon be freed from his tyranny. Tomorrow the despot is to be dethroned.
Hush, rash girl. Know ye not that in alluding to our conspiracy, without having first given and received the secret sign, you are violating a fundamental principle of our association?
By the mystic regulation of our dark association, ere you open conversation with another kindred soul, you must eat a sausage roll. In turn he eats another, that's a sign that he's a brother. Each may fully trust the other, it is quaint and it is droll, but it's bilious on the whole.
Very bilious, very bilious on the whole.
It's a greasy kind of pasty, which perhaps a judgment hasty might consider rather tasty. Once to speak without disguise, it's found favor in our eyes. But when you've been 6 months feeding, as we have, on this exceeding bilious food, it's no ill breeding if at these repulsive pies our offended gorges rise.
I've eaten it until I'm quite uncomfortable. I've given it 6 times already today, and I can't eat any breakfast.
And it's so unwholesome. Why, we should all be as yellow as frogs if it wasn't for the makeup.
All this is rank treason to the cause. I suffer as much as any of you. I loathe the repulsive thing. I can't contemplate it without a shudder. But I'm a conscientious conspirator, and if you won't give the sign, I will.
Poor martyr. He's always at it. It's a wonder where he puts it.
Well, now, about Troilus and Cressida. What do you play?
If you will be so obliging as to wait until I've got rid of this feeling of warm oil at the bottom of my throat, I'll tell you all about it.
And brandy, Ludwig?
Thank you, my love. Thank you. It's gone. Well, Troilus and Cressida will be produced upon a scale of unexampled magnificence. It is confidently predicted that my appearance as King Agamemnon in a Louis XIV wig will mark an epoch in the theatrical annals of Fenwick have Fenwick. I endeavored to persuade Ernest Dumkopf, our manager, to lend us the classical dresses for our marriage. Think of the effect of a real Athenian wedding procession cavorting through the streets of Spicesand. Torches burning, cymbals banging, flutes tootling, cithari twanging, and a throng of 50 lovely Spartan virgins capering before us, all down the high street, singing, Eloia, Eloia, a Poponax Eloia. It would have been tremendous.
And he declined?
He did, on the prosaic ground that it might rain, and the ancient Greeks did not carry umbrellas. If, as is confidently expected, Ernest Dummkopf is elected to succeed the dethroned one. Mark my words, he will make a mess of it. Come, Lisa.
Ernest is sure to be elected. Our entire company has promised to plump for him on the understanding that all the places about the court are filled by members of his troop, according to professional precedent.
Here comes Ernest Dummkopf. Oh. Now we shall know all about it.
Oh, it's a certainty, a practical certainty. Two of the candidates have been arrested for debt, and the third is a baby in arms. So, if you keep your promises and vote solid, I'm cocksure of election.
Trust to us. But you remember the conditions?
Yes, all of you shall be provided for life. Every man shall be ennobled. Every lady shall have unlimited credit at the court milliner's. And all salaries shall be paid weekly in advance.
Oh, it's quite clear he knows how to rule a grand duchy.
Rule a grand duchy? Why, my good girl, for 10 years past, I've ruled a theatrical company. A man who can do that can rule anything.
Were I a king in very truth, and had a son, a guileless youth, in probable succession, to teach him patience, teach him tact, how promptly in a fix to act, he should adopt in point of fact a manager's profession. To that condition he should stoop, despite a troop and mother, with 8 or 10 stars in his group, all jealous of each other, all jealous of each other. The man who can rule a theatrical group, each member a genius and some of them too, can manage to humor them early and late, and govern this company state.
The man who can rule a theatrical group, each member a genius and some of them
light. They say they'll be all right at night. They both to go to school yet. Sini Jack must change her dress. Dee will attempt to square the press. He won't play Romeo unless his grandmother plays Juliet. F claims avoidance as her rights. She's played them 30 seasons, and Dee must show herself in tight. For 2 convincing reasons, 2 very well-safe reasons. Oh, the man who can drive a theatrical team with wheelers and leaders in order supreme, can govern and rule with a wave of his fin, for Europe with Holland for me.
Oh, the man who can drive a theatrical team with wheelers and leaders in order supreme, can govern and rule with a wave of his fin.
Elected by my fellow conspirators to be Grand Duke of Fenighaufenig as soon as the contemptible little occupant of the historical throne is deposed. Here is promotion indeed. Why, instead of playing Troilus of Troy for a month, I shall play Grand Duke of Fenighaufenig for a lifetime. Yes, am I happy? No, far from happy. The lovely English comedian, the beautiful Julia, whose dramatic ability is so overwhelming that our audiences forgive even her strong English accents. That rare and radiant being treats my respectful advances with disdain unutterable. And yet, who knows? She is haughty and ambitious, and it may be that the splendid change in my fortunes may work a corresponding change in her feelings towards me.
Herr Dummkopf! A word with you, if you please.
Beautiful English maiden.
No compliments, I beg. I desire to speak with you on a purely professional matter. So we will, if you please, dispense with allusions to my personal appearance, which can only tend to widen the breach which already exists between us. Oh,
my only hope shattered. The haughty Londoner still despises me. It shall be as you will.
I understand that the conspiracy in which we are all concerned is to develop tomorrow, and that the company is likely to elect you to the throne on the understanding that the posts about the court are to be filled by members of your theatrical troupe, according to their professional importance.
That is so.
Then all I can say is that it places me in an extremely awkward position.
I don't see how it concerns you.
Why, bless my heart, don't you see that as your leading lady, I'm bound under a serious penalty to play the leading part in all your productions?
Well?
Why, of course, the leading part in this production will be the Grand Duchess.
My wife.
That is another way of expressing the same idea.
I scarcely dared even to hope for this.
Of course, as your leading lady, you'll be mean enough to hold me to the terms of my agreement. Oh, that's so like a man. Well, I suppose there's no help for it. I shall have to do it.
She's mine. But do you really think you would care to play that part?
Care to play it? Certainly not. But what am I to do? Business is business, and I'm bound by the terms of the agreement.
It's for a long run, mind, a run that may last many, many years. No understudy, and once embarked upon, there's no throwing it up.
Oh, we are used to these long runs in England. They're the curse of the stage. But you see, I've no option.
You think the part of Grand Duchess will be good enough for you?
Oh, I think so. It's a very good part in Gerolstein, and oughtn't to be a bad one in Fenwick Halfpenny. Why? What did you suppose I was going to play?
But considering your strong personal dislike to me and your persistent rejection of my defeated offers, won't you find it difficult to throw yourself into the part with all the impassioned enthusiasm that the character seems to demand? Mm-hmm. Remember, it's a strongly emotional part, involving long and repeated scenes of rapture, tenderness, adoration, devotion, all in luxuriant excess. And all of a most demonstrative description.
My good sir, throughout my career I have made it a rule never to allow private feeling to interfere with my professional duties. You may be quite sure that, however distasteful the part may be, if I undertake it, I shall consider myself professionally bound to throw myself into it with all the ardor at my command.
I'm the happiest fellow alive. Now, would you have any objection to... give me some idea, if it's only a mere sketch as to how you would play it, it would be really interesting to me to know your conception of the part of my wife.
How I would play it? Now, let me see. Let me see. Ah, I have it. How would I play this part? The Grand Duke bride, all rancor in my heart, I'd duly hide. I drive it from my recollection, and when the wheels of mock affection will calculate it to defy dissection, that's how I'd play this part. The Grand Duke bride, with many a winsome smile, I'd wish and woo, with gay and girlish guile, I'd frenzy you. I'd madden you with my caresses, like battle of us not confessing, that it was not no mortal word me guessing, with so much winsome wile, I'd wish and woo. Any other maid with you succeed, I'd finish the forward jade, I would indeed, with jealous frenzy agitated, which would of course be simulated. I'd make a wish it never been created, I'd make a wish it never been created, I'd make a wish it never been created. Did any other maid with you succeed, then should there come to me some summer's hand, give all the childish grief of innocence. Fair babes aglow with beauty vernal, my heart would bound with joy diurnal, the sweetest veil since the day of honor, why there could also be
fighting for their parts. Success is more certain. Goodness me, but what shall I do? What a dreadful situation. I'm sure I don't know where to go. It put me into such a tether. But this at all events, I know the sooner we are off, the better. Yes, the sooner off, the better. What means this agitato? What do you seek? As your grand duke elect, I bid you speak. Ten minutes since I met a chap who bowed an easy salutation. Thinks I this gentleman mayhap belongs to our association. But on the whole uncertain, yet a sausage roll I took. And at that chap replied, I don't embellish by eating three with obvious relish. Then reassured, I let him know our plotted incident explaining. This stranger chuckled much, as though he thought me highly entertaining. I told him all, both bad and good. I bade him call, he said he would. I added much, the more I muckled, the more that chuckling chummy chuckled. To his applause, down dropped he with hysteric fellow. And that seemed right enough, because I am a devilish funny fellow. Then suddenly, as still he squealed, it flashed on me that I'd revealed our plot with all details effective to Grand Duke Rudolph's own detective.
Well, a nice mess you've got us into. There's an end to our precious plot. All up, pop, fizzle, punk, done for.
Yes, but fancy my choosing the Grand Duke's private detective of all men to make a confidant of. When you come to think of it, it's really devilish funny.
When you come to think of it, it's extremely injudicious to admit into a conspiracy every pudding-headed baboon who presents himself.
Yes, I should never do that. If I were chairman of this gang, I should hesitate to enroll any baboon who couldn't produce satisfactory credentials from his last zoological garden.
Ludwig is far from being a baboon. Poor boy, he couldn't help giving us away. It's his trusting nature. He was deceived.
His trusting nature. Oh, I should like to talk to you in my own language for 5 minutes. Only 5 minutes. I know some good, strong, energetic English remarks that would shrivel your trusting nature into raisins. Only you wouldn't understand them.
Here we perceive one of the disadvantages of a neglected education.
And I suppose you'll never be my Grand Duchess now.
Grand Duchess? My good friend, if you don't produce the piece, how can I play the part?
True. You see what you've done?
But, my dear sir, You don't seem to understand that the man ate 3 sausage rolls. Keep that fact steadily before you. 3 large sausage rolls.
Oh, lots of people eat sausage rolls who are not conspirators.
Then they shouldn't. It is bad form. It is not the game. When one of the human family proposes to eat a sausage roll, it is his duty to ask himself, am I a conspirator? And if, on examination, he finds that he is not a conspirator, he is bound in honor to select some other form of refreshment.
Of course he is. One should always play the game. What are you grinning at, you greedy old man?
Nothing, don't mind me. It is always amusing to the legal mind to see a parcel of laymen bothering themselves about a matter which to a trained lawyer presents no difficulty whatever.
No difficulty?
None whatever. The way out of it is quite simple.
Simple?
Certainly. Now, attend. In the first place, you 2 men fight a statutory duel.
A statutory duel. Ah, what a cracked old language this German is.
I've never heard of such a thing.
It is true that the practice has fallen into abeyance through disuse. But all the laws of Fennig Hal Fennig run for 100 years when they die a natural death. Unless, in the meantime, they have been revived for another century. The act that institutes the statutory duel was passed 100 years ago. And as it has never been revived, it expires tomorrow.
So you're just in time.
But what is the use of talking to us about a statutory duel when we none of us know what a statutory duel is?
Don't you? Then I'll explain.
About a century since, the code of the duello, to sudden death for want of breath sent many a strapping fellow. The then presiding prince, who useless bloodshed hated, he passed an act short and compact, which may be briefly stated. Unlike the complicated laws of parliamentary draftsman draws, it may be briefly stated.
We know the complicated laws of parliamentary draftsman draws, and only briefly stated.
By this ingenious law, if any 2 shall quarrel, they may not fight with falchions bright, which seem to him immoral. But each a card shall draw, and he who draws the lowest shall, so 'twas said, be henceforth dead. In fact, a legal goest. When exigence of rhyme compels, orthography forgoes her spells, and ghost is written goest.
With what an emphasis he dwells upon orthography and spells, that time will turn the lowest.
Author loses oft by easy legal diction, and friend and foe have wept their woe in counterfeit affliction. The winner must adopt the loser's poor relations, discharge his debts, pay all his bets, and take his obligations. The winner must adopt the loser's poor relations, discharge his debts, pay all his bets, discharge his debts, pay all his bets, and take his obligations. In short, to briefly sum the case, the winner takes the loser's place with all its obligations.
Come, let me now explain the case, the winner takes the loser's place with all its obligations.
I see. The man who draws the lowest card
dies, ipso facto, a social death. He loses all his civil rights. His identity disappears. The revising barrister expunges his name from the list of voters. And the winner takes his place Whatever it may be, discharges all his functions and adopts all his responsibilities.
This is all very well as far as it goes, but it only protects one of us. What's to become of the survivor?
The survivor goes at once to the Grand Duke and in a burst of remorse denounces the dead man as the moving spirit of the plot. He is accepted as king's evidence and as a matter of course receives a free pardon. Tomorrow, when the law expires, the dead man will, ipso facto, come to life again. The revising barrister will restore his name to the list of voters, and he will resume all his obligations as though nothing unusual had happened.
When he will be at once arrested, tried, and executed on the evidence of the informer. Candidly, my friends, I don't think much of your plot.
Dear, the ignorance of the laity. My good young lady, it is a beautiful maxim of our most glorious constitution that a man can only die once. Death expunges crime, and when he comes to life again, it will be with a clean slate.
It's really very ingenious.
My dear sir, we owe you our lives.
Ludwig, may I kiss him?
Certainly not. You're a big girl now. Well, miscreant, are you prepared to meet me on the field of honor?
At once. By Jove, what a couple of fire-eaters we are.
Ludwig doesn't know what fear is.
Oh, I don't mind this sort of duel. Oh,
it's not like a duel with swords. I hate a duel with swords. It's not the blade I mind. It's the blood.
And I hate a duel with pistols. It's not the ball I mind. It's the bang.
Altogether, it is a great improvement on the old method of giving satisfaction.
How little you care for fortune's rub. Hurrah, hurrah, I'm gonna kill
him. He's gone.
When you think he's gone, the king's next, the card is gone to be.
sing diamonds, hearts, and spades and clubs. Diamonds, hearts, and clubs, and spades. Sing hearts and diamonds, spades and clubs. Sing diamonds, hearts, and clubs, and spades. Sing hearts and diamonds, spades and clubs. Sing hearts and spades.
Now take a card with heart of grace, whatever our fate, let's play our part.
Hurrah, hurrah, I've drawn an ace.
An ace, he's drawn. And he's got diamonds, spades, and hearts, and clubs, and diamonds, spades, and hearts. He's drawn an ace, perfect six, a square, the talking for the few. Sing diamonds, hearts, and spades, and clubs. Diamonds, hearts, and clubs, and spades. Sing hearts, and diamonds, spades, and clubs. Sing diamonds, hearts, and clubs.
That both these maids may keep their troth and never misfortune them befall, I'll hold them as trustee for them.
Behold them both, behold them both, yes, he'll hold them both. Sing hearts of diamonds, spades and gold, sing hearts of diamonds, spades and gold, by joint decree, and all trustee, this trustee will now withhold. In company, let him keep the heart, by joint decree, and all trustee,
goes off to spend his statutory 24 hours as a dead man. The notary takes charge of the ladies, and Ludwig sets out to find the Grand Duke. But here, preceded by seven chamberlains, is the Grand Duke Rudolf himself. He is meanly and miserably dressed in old and patched clothes, but blazes with a profusion of orders and decorations. He is very weak and ill from low living.
Professors of monarchical autonomy, I don't indulge in levity or compromising bonhomie, but dignified formality consistent with economy. Above all other virtues I particularly prize, I never join in merriment. I don't see joke or jay-penny. I never tolerate familiarity in shape-penny. This joined with an extravagant respect for tuppence halfpenny. A keynote to my character sufficiently supplies. Observe. My snuff box.
Snuff box?
That incident, the keynote to my character supplies. I weigh out tea and sugar with precision mathematical. Instead of beer, a penny each. My orders are emphatical. Extravagance unpardonable any more than that I call. But on the other hand, my ducal dignity to keep. All courtly ceremonial, to put it comprehensively, I rigidly insist upon, but not, I hope, offensively, whenever ceremonial can be practiced inexpensively, and when you come to think of it, it's really very cheap. Observe. My handkerchief. It's stately and impressive, and it's really very cheap. My Lord Chamberlain, as you are aware, my marriage with the wealthy Baroness von Krakenfeld will take place tomorrow, and you will be good enough to see that the rejoicings are on a scale of unusual liberality.
Fine, Ed.
Pass that on.
Liberal rejoicing.
Liberal rejoicing.
Liberal rejoicing.
Liberal rejoicing.
The sports will begin with a wedding breakfast, B. The leading pastry cooks of the town will be invited to compete, and the winner will not only enjoy the satisfaction of seeing his breakfast devoured by the Grand Ducal pair, but he will also be entitled to have the arms of Fennec Huffenig tattooed between his shoulder blades. The Vice Chamberlain will see to this.
Tattoo.
All the public fountains of Spitesal will run with ginger beer heim and currant vine milch at the public expense. The assistant vice chamberlain will see to this.
Currant vine milch.
Currant vine milch.
Currant vine milch.
Currant vine.
Yeah. At night, everybody will illuminate. And as I have no desire to tax the public funds unduly, this will be done at the inhabitants' private expense. The Deputy Assistant Vice Chamberlain will see to this.
Illuminate.
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 All my Grand Ducal subjects will wear new clothes, and the Sub-Deputy Assistant Vice Chamberlain will collect the usual commission on all sales.
Commission.
Commission.
Mission.
Done.
Wedding presents, which on this occasion should be on a scale of extraordinary magnificence, will be received at the palace at any hour of the 24. And the temporary Sub-Deputy Assistant Vice Chamberlain will sit up all night for this purpose.
Wedding presents.
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 The entire population will be commanded to enjoy themselves. And with this view, the acting temporary Sub-Deputy Assistant Vice Chamberlain will sing comic songs in the marketplace from noon till nightfall.
Comic songs.
Comic song.
Comic song.
We can't like trains.
Not now, not now. Finally, we have composed a wedding anthem with which the entire population are required to provide themselves. It can be obtained from our grand ducal publishers at the usual discount price, and all the chamberlains will be expected to push the sale.
Highness.
Highness.
Go away now. Highness. Go away. I don't feel at all comfortable. Hope I'm not doing a foolish thing in getting married. After all, it's a poor heart that never rejoices, and this wedding of mine is the first little treat I've allowed myself since my christening. Besides, Caroline's income is very considerable, and as her ideas of economy are quite on a par with mine, it ought to turn out well. Bless her tough old heart, she's a mean little darling. Oh, here she is.
punctual to her appointment.
Rudolph! Why, what's the matter?
Why, I'm not quite myself, my pet. I'm a little worried and upset. I want a tonic. It's the low diet, I think. I'm afraid, after all, I shall have to take the bull by the horns and have an egg with my breakfast.
I shouldn't do anything rash, dear. Begin with the jujube.
I'll keep it for supper. Ah, Caroline.
Rudolph, don't. What in the world are you thinking of?
I was thinking of embracing you, my sugar plum. Just as a little cheap treat.
What, here? In public? Really, you appear to have no sense of delicacy.
No sense of delicacy, Bonbon?
No. I can't make you out. When you courted me, all your courting was done publicly in the marketplace. When you proposed to me, you proposed in the marketplace. And now that we're engaged, you seem to desire that our first tête-à-tête shall occur in the marketplace. Surely you've a room in your palace. With blinds, that would do.
With my own, I can't help myself. I'm bound by my own decree.
Your own decree?
Yes, you see, all the houses that give on the marketplace belong to me. But the drains, which date back to the reign of Charlemagne, want attending to, and the houses wouldn't let. So, with a view of increasing the value of the property, I decreed that all love episodes between affectionate couples should take place in public on this spot, every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, when the band doesn't play.
Bless me, what a happy idea. So model, too. And have you found it answer?
Answer? The rents have gone up 50%, and the sale of opera glasses, which is a grand ducal monopoly, has received an extraordinary stimulus. So, under the circumstances, would you allow me to put my arm round your waist as a source of income? Oh, just once.
But it's so very embarrassing. Think of the opera glasses.
My good girl, that's just what I am thinking of. Hang it all, we must give them something for their money. What's that?
It's a letter which your detective asked me to hand to you. I wrapped it up in yesterday's paper to keep it clean.
No, it's only his report. That'll keep. But I say, you've never been and bought a newspaper.
My dear Rudolph, do you think I'm mad? It came wrapped round my breakfast.
Oh, I thought you were not the sort of girl to go and buy a newspaper. Well, as we've got it, we may as well read it. What does it say?
Our detested despot. But, dear me, here's your biography. And it says, oh, it can't be.
What? Can't they?
Why, it says that although you are going to marry me tomorrow, you were betrothed in infancy to the Princess of Monte Carlo.
Oh, yes, that's quite right. Didn't I mention it?
Mention it? You never said a word about it.
That's so like me. Well, it doesn't matter because, you see, it's practically off.
Practically off?
Yes, by the terms of the contract, the betrothal is void unless the princess marries before she is of age. Now, her father, the prince, is stony broke and hasn't left his house for years for fear of arrest. Over and over again he has implored me to come to him to be married, but in vain. Over and over again he has implored me to advance him the money to enable the princess to come to me, but in vain. I am young. Not as young as that. And as the princess comes of age at 2 tomorrow, why, at 2 tomorrow, I'm a free man. So I appointed that hour for our wedding, as I should like to have as much marriage as I can get for my money.
I see. Of course, if the married state is a happy state, it's a pity to waste.
Why, every hour we delayed, I should lose a lot of you, and you'd lose a lot of me.
My thoughtful darling. Oh, Rudolph, we ought to be very happy.
If I'm not, it'll be my first bad investment. Still, there is such a thing as a slump, even in matrimonials.
I often picture us in the long, cold, dark December evenings, sitting close to each other and singing impassioned duets to keep us warm and thinking of all the lovely things we could afford to buy, if we chose, and at the same time planning out our lives in a spirit of the most rigid and exacting economy.
It's a most beautiful and touching picture of connubial bliss. in its highest and most rarefied development.
As o'er a penny roll we sing, it is not reprehensive to think what joys our wealth would bring were we disposed to do the thing upon a scale extensive. This rich mock turtle thick and clear.
Perhaps we'll have it once a year.
You are an open-handed deal.
No, mind you, it's expensive.
No doubt it is expensive. How fitting are the glutton's joys with fish and fowl delightfully toys.
And pays for such expensive tricks sometimes as much as 2 and 6.
As 2 and 6?
As 2 and 6. Sometimes as much as 2 and 6.
It gives him no advantage, mind. For you and he have only dined. And you remain when once it's down a better man by half a crown.
By half a crown?
By half a crown. Yes, 2 and 6 is half a crown. Then let us be modestly merry and rejoice with the daily down daily. For to laugh at the thing no extravagant spring, it's a joy economical very. Then let us be modestly merry and rejoice with the daily down daily. For to laugh at the thing no extravagant spring, it's a joy economical very. Although, as you're of course aware, I never tried to hide it. I moisten my insipid fare with water which I can't abear.
Nor I can't abide it.
This pleasing fact our souls will cheer. With £50,000 a year, we could indulge in table beer.
Get out.
We could, I've tried it.
Yes, yes, of course you tried it.
Oh, he who has
an income clear of £50,000 a year
can purchase all his fancy loves and seek your hat.
2 shilling gloves.
2 shilling gloves.
2 shilling gloves. Yes, think of that, 2 shilling gloves.
Cheap shoes and ties of gaudy hue and Waterbury watches too. He could buy the lot were he a donkey.
Which he's not.
Oh, no, he's not.
Oh, no, he's not.
That kind of donkey he is not.
Then let us be modestly merry and rejoice with the derry-down-derry. For to laugh and to sing is a rational thing. It's a joy economical very. Then let us be modestly merry and rejoice with the derry-down-derry. For to laugh and to sing is a rational thing. It's a joy economical very.
Now for my detective's report. What's this? Another conspiracy? A conspiracy to depose me? And my private detective was so convulsed with laughter at the notion of a conspirator selecting him for a confidant that he was physically unable to arrest the malefactor. Why, it'll come off. This comes of engaging a detective with a keen sense of the ridiculous. For the future, I'll employ none but Scotchmen. And the plot is to explode tomorrow, my wedding day. Oh, Caroline! Caroline. This is perfectly frightful. What's to be done? I don't know. I ought to keep cool and think. But you can't think when your veins are full of hot soda water and your brains
fizzing like a firework, and all your faculties are jumbled in a perfect whirlpool. Tumblification. I'm going to be ill. I know I am. I've been living too low. And I'm going to be very ill indeed.
When you find you're a broken down critter, who is all in a tremble and twitter, with your palate unpleasantly bitter, as if you'd just bitten a pill, when your legs are as thin as dividers, and you're plagued with unruly insiders, and your spine is all creepy with spiders, and you're highly gambooed in the gill.
Repeat.
When you've got a beehive in your head and a sewing machine in each ear, and you feel that you've eaten your bed and you've got a bad headache, a headache down here. When such facts are about and those symptoms you find in your body or a crown, it's a shady look out. You may make up your mind that you'd better die down. Go at once and lie down. When your lips are all smeary like tallow, and your tongue is decidedly yellow, with a pint of warm oil in your swallow and a pound of tin tacks in your chest, when you're down in the mouth with the vapors and all over your Morris wallpapers, black beetles are cutting their papers and crawly things never at rest. Crawly things. Holy things. When you doubt if your head is your own, and you jump when an open door slams, then you've got to a state which is known to the medical world as Jim Jam. If such symptoms you find in your body or head, they're not easy to quell. You may make up your mind you are better in bed, for you're not at all well. No, you're not at all well, not at all well.
Now for my confession and full pardon. They told me the Grand Duke was dancing duets in the marketplace, but I don't see him. Hello, who's this? Why, it is the Grand Duke.
Who are you, sir, who presume to address me in person? If you've anything to communicate, you must fling yourself at the feet of my acting temporary sub-deputy assistant vice-chamberlain, who will fling himself at the feet of his immediate superior, and so on, with successive foot-flingings through the various grades. Your communication will, in course of time, come to my august knowledge.
But when I inform your highness that in me you see the most unhappy, the most unfortunate, the most completely miserable man in your whole dominion...
Are you the most miserable man in my whole dominion? How can you have the face to stand there and say such a thing? Why, look at me. Look at me.
Well, I wouldn't be a crybaby.
A crybaby? If you had just been told that you were going to be deposed tomorrow and perhaps blown up with dynamite for all I know, wouldn't you be a crybaby? I do declare that if I could only hit upon some cheap and painless method of putting an end to an existence which has become insupportable, I would unhesitatingly adopt it.
You would?
I see a magnificent way out of this, and by Jupiter, I'll try it.
Are you by any chance in earnest?
in earnest. Look at me.
If you are really in earnest, if you really desire to escape scot-free from this impending, this unspeakably horrible catastrophe, without trouble, danger, pain, or expense, why not resort to a statutory duel?
A statutory duel?
Yes. The act is still in force, but it will expire tomorrow afternoon. You fight, you lose, you are dead for a day. And tomorrow, when the act expires, you will come to life again and resume your grand duchy as though nothing had happened. And in the meantime, the explosion will have taken place and the survivor will have had to bear the brunt of it.
Yes, that's all very well, but who'll be fool enough to be the survivor?
Actuated by an overwhelming sense of attachment to your grand ducal person, I unhesitatingly offer myself as the victim of your subject's fury.
You do? Well, really, that's very handsome. I dare say being blown up is not nearly as unpleasant as one would think.
Oh, yes, it is. It mixes one up awfully.
But suppose I were to lose.
Ah, that is easily arranged.
Come.
I'll put an ace up my sleeve and you'll put a king up yours. And when the drawing takes place, I shall seem to draw the higher card and you the lower. Ah, there you are.
Ah, but that's cheating.
Ah, so it is. I never thought of that.
Not that I mind. But I say, you won't take an unfair advantage of your day of office. You won't go tipping people or squandering my little savings on fireworks or any nonsense of that sort.
I'm hurt. Really hurt by the suggestion.
You wouldn't like to put down a deposit, perhaps?
No, I don't think I should like to put down a deposit.
Oh, give a guarantee.
A guarantee would be equally open to objection.
It would be more regular. Very well, I suppose you must have your own way.
Good. I say, we must have a devil of a quarrel.
Oh, a devil of a quarrel?
Just to give colour to the thing. Shall I give you a sound thrashing before all the people? Say the word, it is no trouble.
No, I think not, though it would be very convincing, and it's extremely good and thoughtful of you to suggest it. Still, a devil of a quarrel.
Oh, a devil of a quarrel.
No half measure. Big words, strong language, rude remarks. Oh, the devil of a quarrel.
Now, the question is, how shall we summon the people?
Oh, there's no difficulty about that, bless your heart. They've been staring at us through those windows for the last half hour. Come hither, all you people, when you hear the fearful news.
All the pretty women weep, both men will shiver in their shoes. And they're all my lord defenders when they learn the fact tremendous.
That to give this man his duel
in a statutory duel,
this plebeian man a shot,
this contemptible nobody, dog and duke does not refuse.
Now you begin and pick it strong. Walk into me abusively.
I've several epithets that I've reserved for you exclusively. A choice selection I have here when you are ready to begin.
No, you begin.
No, you begin.
No, you begin.
No, you begin. No, you begin.
Bombs, small bombs, great guns, and little ones. Put him in a pillory, break him with artillery.
Long for top sort of little ones. Break him into bits, blow him into bits.
You muff, sir.
You love, sir.
Enough, sir.
Get out, sir.
I hit, sir.
Hit that, sir.
It's it, sir.
A dancer.
It's it, sir. A dancer. It's it, sir. A dancer. It's
it. So come, we heroes, come now. All the world is lost in wonder.
The rich snob, the needy one.
Who are you alluding to?
Where are you intruding to?
Fat snob, thin snob, swell snob, and seedy one.
I'd rather think of virtue than you refer.
To you, sir.
To me, sir.
I do, sir.
We'll see, sir.
I hear, sir. Grenade, sir.
Look here, sir. Our face, sir.
It's it, sir. For that, sir. It's it, sir. For that, sir. It's
it. Yeah.
a duel.
We will fight a duel for the turf.
You mean, of course, by duel, verbum sat. A statutory duel.
What is that?
According to established legal uses, a card apiece each bold disputant chooses. Dead as a doornail is the dog who loses. The winner steps into the dead man's shoes.
Dead as a doornail is the dog who loses. The winner steps into the dead man's shoes.
Agreed.
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 Come, come, the pack.
Behold it here.
I'm on the rack.
I quake with fear.
First draw to me. If that's the case, behold the king.
Behold the ace.
Tomorrow. Yes, yes, I'll come to life tomorrow.
My Lord Grand Duke, farewell, let us journey fair. To your convenience, in your understanding. The mild contents of you.
Potential fires, you rule the ribaldry that from you falls. Tomorrow afternoon the law expires, and then look out for squalls. That your powers are limited to 24 hours.
No matter, though the time will quickly run, in hours 24 much may be done. A monarch who boasts intellectual graces can do if he likes a good deal in a day, can put all his friends in conspicuous places with plenty to eat and with nothing to pay. You'll tell me, no doubt, with unpleasant grimaces tomorrow, deprived of your ribbons and laces, you'll get your dismissal with very long faces. But wait, on that topic, I've something to say. I've something to say, I've something to say.
Something to say.
Oh, our rules shall be merry, I'm not an ascetic, and while the sun shines, we'll get up a hay by a pushing and monarch upturn energetic. A very great deal may be done in a day.
Oh, this rule will be merry, it's not an ascetic, and while the sun shines, we'll get up a hay by a pushing and monarch upturn energetic. A very great deal may be done in a day.
Instance, this measure his ancestor drew it. This law against duel tomorrow will die. The Duke will revive and you'll certainly rue it. He'll give you what for and he'll let you know why. But in 24 hours, it's time to renew it with a century's life of the right to imbue it. It's easy to do, and by jingo, I'll do it. It's done till I perish, a monarch am I, a monarch am I, a monarch am I. I do not pretend to be very prophetic. I fancy I know what you're going to say. By a pushing a monarch of turn energetic, a very great deal may be done in a day.
Oh, it's simply and then it's all
this very afternoon at 2 o'clock, the court appointments will be given out to each and all, for that was the condition according to professional position.
Hurrah! Hurrah!
Hurrah!
What's the matter?
According to professional position.
According to professional position.
Then hurrah! 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 Hurrah!
Why, what's the matter, what's the matter, what's the matter, what's the matter?
Oh, with me, my comrades true, who love as well, I know you do, this gentle child. Lisa, who is so humbly dear.
Why, what's the matter, what's the matter?
Each sympathetic heart will grow.
Time will show if this be so.
Time will show if this be so.
As for the stage meant, it certainly frees Ludwig from his connubial, from his, though marriage contract or whate'er you call them are very solemn. Dramatic contracts which you all adore so are even more so.
That's very true. Marriage contracts are very solemn. Dramatic contracts are even more so.
Too bright to love.
Where will she go? What will she do?
That isn't in your part, you know.
Oh, quite true. Depressing topics we'll not touch upon. Let us begin as we are going on. For this will be a jolly cot for little and for big. From morn to night, the night will be as merry as a grig. All state and ceremony will eternally abolish. We don't be too insistent on unnecessary polish. And on the whole, I'd rather think you'll find our old colourless. The jolly, jolly ding. The jolly, jolly ding. The jolly, 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 jolly ding. For this will be a jolly cup for little and for big. Sing, hey, the jolly ding, the penny, the penny. Sing, hey, the jolly ding, the penny, the penny.
But since your new made coat without a courtly coat is, we shall require some coat at hand, and at a moment's notice, in cloth of carbon sort, your courtiers must not grovel, your new noblesse must have a dress original and novel.
The dress is what kind of dress would be, but he's in trouble.
Old Athens, we'll exhume the necessary dresses, correct and true and all brand new, the company possesses. Henceforth, our court costume shall live in song and story, for we'll upraise the dead old days of Athens in her glory. This will be a jolly court for little and for big. Rum on the night, a lice will be as merry as a grig.